I think this is going to be the last year on Hashavas Aveda. And the
we can't have a seein. What? He's doing it always, we can't have a seein.
Right. So last year on Hashavas Aveda, we're going to talk about the Yisrael Dika thing, and we're going to connect it into Shavas Batamus also. We spoke about it yesterday. So the Gemara we're going to talk about is if you're mechuyev to be meshev an aveda of a goy. Now this is very negeah because often you're in a store, you find something, and it's lost or whatever in a public place, and if it's roiv goyim, so you can assume it's from a goy, unless it's a Jewish object, you know. So if it belongs to a goy, you're allowed to assume it belongs to a goy. Are you allowed to? Are you mechuyev to? What's the halacha of the aveda of the goy? Can you keep it? So it's a gemara in Bava Kamma. Damar Rav Chama Bar Guria Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis Amar Rav Minayin LaAvedas Haknani Shehi Muteres. An aveda of a goy is mutter to keep it. Shneamar L'chol Avedas Achicha. Only the aveda of your brother. LaAchicha Tamachzir V'yatamachzir L'Knayni. You're not mechuyev to return it to a non-Jew. V'ema Hani Mili Echad L'Asil Yadei. Maybe that means very simple. Maybe that means if you find it on the floor, you're not mechuyev to pick it up to return it to him. But what if you did pick it up? Maybe at that point you have to give it back. You're not allowed to keep it. You can ignore it, fine. But how do you know that if you pick it up, you're allowed to keep it? Even if once it comes to your hand, you do not have to return it anymore. You can now keep the item for yourself. Now there is a question, just because you're not mechuyev in Hashavas Aveda, how did it become yours? Maybe you have to wait till he's miyayish. Right? And as normally by a Jew, if you pick it up before he's miyayish, we already learned a lot of times, if you pick it up before the Jew knows about it, before he's miyayish, before he gives up hope, you're not allowed to keep it. But by a non-Jew, maybe you'd say, if he's miyayish, eventually it becomes yours. Here the Gemara is mavor, even without yish, it's yours. Why is that true? So the Acharonim shtel too, that it's similar to other cases, like an aveda of a pachas mishava pruta. Aveda is very, you have no chiv to give it back if it's less than a pruta, but does it become yours, or just you're allowed to hold it until he's miyayish, and then becomes yours? So the place comes into machalik is shayna, but some are mashma, then it becomes yours. So the idea basically is that the Torah made it hefker. The Torah says once it's lost, that you can be zoiche to mitzad dine hefker. Now, by the way, one other thing is included in this idea of Aveda sa'akum is also that there's another din hashavas aveda, right? Let's say you see that there's a big loss coming. Someone's going to lose their item. They didn't lose it, but they're going to lose money. Right? For example, someone left their door open and a ganav is coming, is about to go into his house and steal stuff. So for a Jew, you would be mechuyev to go and close their door for them, save them from a loss. If a hurricane is coming, you got to go and shut their shutters for them, for a Jew. Are you mechuyev to do that for a non-Jew? Same thing, you're potter. You don't have to do that for a non-Jew. Okay? And, okay? But we'll see, maybe doing that is a... Now, Lemaisa... It says in the Gemara here, the Gemara Baba Kama, all it says is you're allowed to keep it. But it doesn't say necessarily that it's also to return it. You just don't have to. But there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is a pretty surprising Gemara. But the Gemara says that somebody that returns a lost object to a guy is over, he transgresses the pasuk that says, Laman tzfois harava esatzmeya. Which is a pasuk in the Klalis in Nitzavim. And Rashi explains what that means is you're connecting two things which do not belong together. So what does that mean? You're connecting Jews to non-Jews. So you're not supposed to do it. And Rashi says you're showing that you don't do Hashavas Aveda because it's a mitzvah. You do Hashavas Aveda because it's a morally correct thing. And therefore, you're doing it to a non-Jew as well. If that's not the mitzvah, then it's not the mitzvah. Why are you doing it? So it's usher to return it to a non-Jew. Zoi Zok Rashi.
Usher.
You're not allowed. Why? Because if you return a lost object to a non-Jew, you are, by definition, saying that Jews and non-Jews are the same. And you're not allowed to do that. That's what Rashi learns. Okay? It says, it says here, Hamach Zerveda Lagoy, Olava Kosov Oimer, Leman Tzfois Harava Es Atzmeya, Lo Yoive Hashem Sloyach Loy. Hashem does not want to forgive such a person. Pretty extreme. Why? Because according to Rashi, the pshat is you're connecting a non-Jew to a Jew. You're saying the same thing. Now, the Rambam has a little bit of a different interpretation than that Gemara. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Gzeil of Aveda, he says, Avedas Oyver Avodah Zara Muteres V'machzira Hareze Oyver Avera. You turn it, you're Oyver and Avera. Mipneshu Machzik Yidei Rishay Oylam. Because you're strengthening the Rishayim. Why are you strengthening them for? Why are you giving them? Why are you doing that? You're giving them now more power against us. It's not a good thing. So according to the Rashi and the Rambam, they both say not only based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, not only is Avedas Akum Mutter, Avedas Akum is Mutter. You don't have to return it. It's Usur to return it. Rashi says it's Usur, again, because you're connecting non-Jews to Jews and you're saying they're the same.
There's no
filler. One second. And the Rambam says it's because you're being machzik yidei rishei oilam. Okay? Now, okay, so this is the basic idea of the Gemara, that that it's Usur to return an object to a guy, you're definitely potter, you're allowed to keep it. And not only that, the Gemara Sanhedrin adds on that it's Usur to do so. However, the next piece in the Gemara Baba Kama, the Gemara Baba Kama says like this: Tanya, Rapinchas ben Yair says, it's the Gemara Baba Kama, Kufi Gimel. B'makom sheish chilu Hashem, if there's going to be a chilu Hashem, afilu avedasei also, no, it's also to keep his aveda. Now we flip the other way. If there's going to be a chilu Hashem, it's also to keep the aveda. What does it mean, chilu Hashem? So the Prisha says he lost the thing in a Jewish neighborhood. So if he lost the item, now normally there's not likely to be a chilu Hashem, because how does he know who found it? What's a chilu Hashem? He's going to think, what's the case of chilu Hashem? He's going to think that what happened?
Jews are not morally correct.
Well, do non-Jews return it?
Huh?
Do non-Jews return things?
I think they do sometimes.
Okay, so sometimes. But if he goofa thinks that a non-Jew picked it up, so what's the big chel Hashem? So there's a machlokes in the mafarshim, what the chel Hashem is. Some mafarshim say he lost it in a Jewish neighborhood. So he's going to say, oh, these Jews, they don't even return lost objects. But some say that's not a chel Hashem, because goyim also don't return lost objects. Not expected from them. But he's going to think, he's not going to think that he lost it. He's going to think the Jew stole it from him. He's going to think, I didn't lose my phone. It didn't fall out of my pocket. Someone must have pickpocketed me. So he's going to blame the Jews for stealing it.
I was thinking other people saw him. He means Alim or fake. It was actual, the Chilul Hashem is, okay, we're in the robbing, and then, you know, John Smith drops his gun.
And then all of a sudden everyone pounces on it to,
and
like,
no
figure
out. And where everybody pounced on it, and they just took it and they went all the way. That would be Chilul Hashem, because everybody saw it fell from this guy.
Usually the Chilul Hashem is okay, so the Prisha says it's talking about either he's going to think that it was stolen from him, or it fell in a Jewish neighborhood and he's going to be complaining, why didn't the Jews return it to me? Now, this thing with the Prisha, I told you I had a maisa like this. Told you the maisa with the airplane? Happened during the 9 days, I always remember that. We flew during the 9 days, and we were like, we had no choice, whatever. Maisa, a story happened on the flight, that we were on the flight, and this lady, remember this story of the Prisha. This lady apparently lost an envelope full of cash. So they made an announcement, anyone found this thing full of cash, whatever. It was myself and two other Bachrim, three Bachrim, were flying to Montevideo for the summer to give Shiurim there in Uruguay. So we were going to give Shiurim all there. It was through Bachrim, we were flying. Bekitzar, we on the flight, they make this big announcement that this lady, if anyone saw the envelope, please return it to the front. It was full of cash. After the flight, we get off the flight, whatever, and I see that this lady's talking to one of the Bachrim. So, and the guy, and I don't know if she came over to us, but the Bachrim like motioned to me, like, keep going, don't worry. So Kitzer, afterwards, so what happened was, she came off the flight, and she said, I know one of you three guys have it, because one of you three stole it from me. So, can I please have back my money? and she wanted the security to check the guy's bag, which they didn't, because like, because you're tining, you know. But but Lamaisa, she assumed that if it was stolen, it must have been from one of the Jewish guys on the flight.
Why would she assume that?
Because this is South America, buddy. This is not, you know, the land of this is not the home of the brave and the land of whatever it is. I don't know how that goes, but the land of the free, home of the free.
What did Raphael say before that everybody left New York?
Huh?
What did you say before? Hamotzi
Mechavel of Raya. Like, you need a proof.
What's
the majority of things are Jewish.
So she assumed that was true. Now, I told you that on that, I've mentioned before, that on that same flight, we had another guy who, myself and the other Baruch, we were learning most of the flight. I guess, I don't know, when we were sitting there learning on the flight. So this guy, who was sitting next to us, he's like, on the flight, so this guy comes over to us, before we get off the plane, before that other story, so he comes over to us and he says, you know, people complain that they say that Jews are better and Jews are smarter than everyone else and everything like that. He says, they have no right to complain. Look at everyone else. Look at us. This is what he says about himself. So look at the rest of us. We're sitting there on a plane watching stupidity and wasting our time watching movies. And you guys are studying the whole entire flight. Of course you're smarter than the rest of us. So he said, of course you're smarter than the rest of us. You sit there, you're sitting there studying the whole time. And we are sitting there watching movies. Of course, no one has the right to complain that you're smarter than us. That's what he said. And I guess we're smart enough to figure out how to steal the guy in the lady's envelope.
While we're learning.
So I guess it's all a matter of perspective. But the point is that Lamaisa, so such a case, right? So she lost the envelope. So she's going to say a Jewish person stole it. So Mamela, there's a mitzvah. So to be Mainea Chil Hashem, to avoid Chil Hashem. To avoid Chil Hashem, you are allowed to return it, and it's usur. You have to return it to avoid a Chil Hashem. To avoid a Chil Hashem, you have to return it. It's not going to be a kid. You know,
they have to mock this. Return is one thing. I got it. There's John Smith on. Oh, there's John Smith. But do I have to mock this?
I don't know if being mock is going to avoid a Chil Hashem to announce it. I don't know if that's going to avoid the Chil Hashem. Now, the thing is like this. By the way, I don't know. By the way, so now two other points. One other point is, remember what you said before, that in addition to, but you need this level of Chil Hashem. If it's not going to be a Chil Hashem, you still go back, you're not allowed to return it. What about shutting the guy's shutters before the hurricane? You're going around, right? You're going around with a couple guys in cars, and shutting all the Jewish people's shutters in the neighborhood, and you're skipping every other house, like the Malach, you're skipping every other house that's not a Jewish. You look for a mezuzah. If there's a mezuzah, I shut the shutters. No mezuzah, I don't.
So they're not going to do it to our house.
There's a sign that says mezuzah b'fnim.
What do you mean, why not?
Because the door is
inside the house. They'll
see our mezuzah. No, but if they don't see a mezuzah.
Whatever, they know the Jewish houses, right? If you have a broken minivan in front of your house, so they know the Jewish houses. So Kshat is the mindset. If you have, so are you allowed now? So the Rambam here, there's no Chil Hashem or Kiddush Hashem. You know, the neighbors are out of town or whatever. So here the Rambam doesn't say you need a Chil Hashem. The Rambam says, b'chol makim machnisin keileyem in p'nei aganavim kechli Yisrael mipnei darkei shalom. Here, you don't need such a high level of Chil Hashem. Darkei shalom is enough. And l'chari, there is darkei shalom there. So if people are going around and helping people before the hurricane, they would be allowed to help the Jews, non-Jews as well, on darkei shalom, just for shalom. Why? Because there's no Isra on that yet. Because there's no Aveda. So it's not like the term made in Hefker or whatever. It's just a Maisa of Hatzalah, so you're allowed to do that for the non-Jew as well. And it's a din of the gavra, not a din of the chefter. Right? There's no.
But I hear the shiloh though. In other words, if I'm spending time with John Smith, and my neighbor, I didn't get a chance to close his windows. Can you be toveya on me? Why didn't you take care of my?
Okay, maybe you should take care of the Jew first. But you're allowed to do it as well to the non-Jew. So if you're providing a service, right? You're going to put up a big sign. Anyone need wood for their, to save themselves from a loss, come to me, and a non-Jew comes. You can't push them away. Al tzedakei shalom. You don't need the level of Chil Hashem for that. As long as it's tzedakei shalom, you'd be allowed. So, and before a hurricane, you want to go shut people's shutters or whatever, you'll be allowed to do it for a non-Jew as well. Okay? And even if it's not going to be a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem, if you don't do it, it's not going to be a Chil Hashem, but you're still allowed to. Okay. Now, what happens if it's not going to be a Chil Hashem? It's like a Michal Hashem. So the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is like, listen carefully. Lashon Shulchan Aruch is like this. Avedas hagoy mutares. You're allowed to keep an aveda of a goy. Shenema, avedas achicha. V'hamachazira. Harei ze oiver avera mipnei shu machzik yidei oivre avera. If you're doing an avera by returning it to the goy. V'imachazira lekadesh es Hashem. But if you're machzir in order to give him a kiddush shem shamayim, kadesh shi yifaru, as you saw, that the non-Jews will praise the Jews. V'yedu shehim bali emuna. And you know, they know that you have emunah. Why do they know you have emunah? Because you know, they know that you believe you're going to get the money that you deserve anyway. You don't need this aveda. You tell them, well, how are you returning me this item? If Hashem wants me to give, my God wants me to give me the money, I'll get the money elsewhere. Harezim b'shubach, you're allowed to do that. Uvamakim sheish chilul Hashem, avedase asura. So there's three levels. V'chayv lahachzir. So now, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, adds in a middle level here. That there's no chilul Hashem. The Rambam adds a middle level. There's no chilul Hashem if you won't return it. The Rambam adds in a middle level, right? So we know that if stamazai, it's also to return the aveda to the goy. If there's going to be a chilul Hashem, then you're mechuyev to return it to the non-goy, to the goy. What happens if it's not going to be a chilul Hashem? Why? Why is it not going to be a chilul Hashem? Because the guy has no clue where he lost it. He has no clue where he lost it. So he's not going to be a chilul, he's not going to blame the Jews. It's not going to be a chilul Hashem if you don't return it. But by returning it, you can make a kiddush Hashem. Are you mechuyev to do that? Or are you allowed to do that? Or are you over the iser of avedas akum is also to return to a guy? It's also. So what about it's the middle level, right? There's no chilul Hashem if you don't, but you could do a kiddush Hashem if you do. So the Rambam says it's mutar. It's a good thing to do that. So if you can make a Kiddush Hashem, it's okay. How are you going to make a Kiddush Hashem? So here is a Gevaldika Yerushalmi. I didn't make copies of it, but I'm going to read the Yerushalmi inside. I'll read you the story, and then we're going to read the Smag, okay? So the Yerushalmi is a story. It's a well-known story of Rav Shimon ben Shetach. But the Gemara says like this, Amar Balazar, Beni Masnis Talgabi Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach have a osik ba'ad kisna. He would work with flax. Amrin le tamidei. Rebbe, arpi minach. Rebbe, it's too hard for you this work. Va'anan zavinin aloch chada chamar. We'll buy for you a chamar, a donkey, and the donkey will work for you. You know, we'll buy for you a machine. V'les at lai sugin, and you're not going to have to work so hard. And they bought him a chamar from some Arab, Yishmaeli, and on the neck of the, or somewhere in the chamar, there was a margolis, a diamond, a precious stone. Also in the Gabe, they came to Rebbe Shimon ben Shetach, from this stone, let that tzarch lie to him, you're never going to have to work again in your life. We told you, your work will be easier. We'll sponsor for you a chamar. It'll be easier for you. Not only is it going to be easier, not only we got you a chamar, Hashem loves you. He gave you an extra diamond on there, so now you could totally retire and just learn. Lama, what do you mean? Amrin lei, they told him the story. We bought you this thing, and on it was a margolis. And did the owner knowingly give you this diamond? Amrin lei loy. Amrin lei loin. So, and the Talmidim said, he told us, Ezel Chazer, go give it back to him. Go give it back. Now, the guy didn't have no idea where the stone was. It's not like he remembered that it was on that donkey. There's no Chil Hashem here. So he said, give it back. Loy Kain Amar Ravuna, Bar Afil Command Amar Gzil Shal Akum. Also, so they asked the Talmidim, asked the Rebbe, they said, but Aveda Sa'akum is mutter. It's an Aveda of a guy. You're allowed to keep it. What are you sending this back for? So listen to this. Ma'atun sovereign. What do you think? Shimon Meshat B'raver V'nava. You think I'm a robber? You think I'm a thief? I live on other people's money? Boy, Hava, Shimon Meshatach, Mashma, I would rather hear people say, Brich Elokoin do you die? I would rather people say, blessed is the God of the Jews, you know, because, wow, the Jews act so nicely. Brich elekon diudai, me'aron kol adin alma, from all the money in the world. I would rather hear someone say, wow, the Jews are great, the God of the Jews is great, than to have all the money in the world. V'yeda amra, and where did I get this from? I got it from a similar story that happened to Reb Chananya. That there was a Reb Chananya, similar story, he bought a package of chitim, and he returned the money that was inside, and ended up saying, Brich Elokai, do you die? And a whole bunch of stories similar to that. So this is the Rambam's source. There's no Chilul Hashem here. Because if he would have kept the stone, the guy, the owner, never would have known. He never would have known, and he would have never had a taina. But it doesn't matter. He said, L'maisa brichel, kai do you die? And he said, I'd rather hear that Kiddush Hashem than have all the money in the world.
But I thought we just learned that it's you have an obligation not to return it.
But that's what the Rambam's Chiddush from this Gemara. If there will be a Kiddush Hashem,
oh, I see.
Then you go, now, what does it mean? It means you cannot return it anonymously. Sometimes you have, let's say, you get in the mail something.
Like these guys with the desk filled with money.
Yeah, right. But if you're going to just, so in that case, you should only return it if it's going to make a big deal. So if you're going to, let's say something you get in the mail something that belongs to someone else. So now if you just go and put it on front of their lawn, so then you're returning it anonymously. So you should do that. Right? If you find something in front of your lawn that belongs to your neighbor, so to return it anonymously may not be so poshut. You go knock on their door and make a kiddush Hashem and say, oh, I found this on the lawn, here it is. That you could do. What? A guy I'm talking about. Right? So if you can return it by making kiddush Hashem, that's fine. Anonymously is not so poshut. Okay? Now, I just heard a story, Rabbi Felder, he was saying over the following story. He said there was a guy in Muncie, or somewhere, I don't know where it was. I think he's in Muncie, it doesn't make a difference where. And he bought a really, really expensive mansion. A few million dollar mansion. Okay, let's call, for example, for argument, he said a crazy number, but I don't know. A few million dollars, okay? Mansion. And apparently it was not Negea. It was Mamish, not Lamaisa. You had to tear down the whole thing. It was a complete flop. And he lost basically every dollar he made on it. So someone said, look, you paid $2 million. Put it back on the market for $1 million. And see who comes. Put it back on the market for 1.5 and see, maybe he'll sell it. A guy comes to him and says, I want to buy it for 1.5. He said, 1.5 is a great deal. He said, I even paid $2 for it, but I'll sell it to you for 1.5 and all this. And finally the guy agrees and he has the contract and he's looking good. He said, I saved myself, I cut my losses. Apparently it wasn't Negea. I don't know, you have to tear it down. It was structurally unsound, it wasn't Negea. You would realize all the problems right away.
So why wouldn't the guy realize
that? I don't know. See, but he only realized it after he bought it. So I don't know what the problem was. I don't get the story. So he went to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Yaakov said, he said, no, you can't do that. So what do you mean I can't do it? It's Toysak, I'm selling it. I'm not doing anything wrong. He said, no, you can't do that. You have to tell him. So they're already in contract. He calls over the guy, and he says to him, listen, I got to tell you the truth. I said, this house is really not Negea. This problem. It's not Shaykh. You're going to realize, you don't realize right away, whoever built it covered up all the issues, but after you're there for a little bit, a month or two, you're going to realize everything's a disaster, and it's mamash not Shaykh. I don't want to sell you the house. All right? So the guy goes to his lawyer. They're thinking about it and says, this is absurd. The guy, you don't just give up a deal at one point on the house. For no reason. Must be he got a better buyer somewhere else. Go back to him and offer him two. So the guy goes back. He says, you know what? I'm not letting you get out of this contract. I'm giving you two. I'll offer you two. He says, I'm telling you, this is the problem. He says, you know what? My lawyer brought back this contract. I want you to sign this contract. Irreversible. Irreversible contract. You cannot get out of this contract no matter what. No, I'm putting in extra clauses in the contract. I don't want you to get out of this deal so easily. He says, I'm telling you, this thing is a disaster. He says, I don't care. I don't believe you. This, that, the other. And not only that, I'm offering you more money. I don't want you to get out of this contract. But shum poneh v'yifon. The kids are after, he's like, what should I do? I disclose all the information and everything. The guy wants to go through it. So he went through with it afterwards. Afterwards, after 3 months, the guy called him back and said this thing, Bruch elokai, do you die? He said, he had no taina. You're 100% right. I was a fool. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, your God obviously doesn't want you to lose the money. That's what he told him. He said, you're honest. And your God takes care of you. He doesn't want you to lose money. That's what he said. So that was the Maisa. So Koponim, so that means if it's gonna be a chil Hashem, Avada Yir Mechuyev to give it back. If it's gonna be Pariv, it's also to give it back. You're not allowed. If it's gonna be a Kiddush Hashem, you're allowed to give it back, and Harizim Meshubach, and it's a good thing to give it back. And that's the story of Shimon ben Shetach, and the Makarfer is the Yerushalmi is Shimon ben Shetach. Now, there's an interesting Yamshel Shleima in the Marshal. He says, what happens if I want to give it back because I like him. I like the guy. It's Asur. Even if he's your friend. Asur. Not only that. He says, what happens if I want him to say I'm an honest guy. I want him to think I have a good reputation. I'm an honest, menschlich, moral guy. Asur. Means even if when you return it, they're going to say, oh, wow, this is nice, but they're not going to realize that it's because you're a Yid. They're not going to realize it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to give it back or whatever, then it's also to do it. If you just want to maintain your reputation as an honest guy, but not because to make a Kiddush Hashem out of it, then the Yamshel Shleima says it's also. So, no, Dr. Shalom's not enough for this. Dr. Shalom's only enough for the other case.
Huh? Is your friend?
Not enough. That's what the Yamshel Shleima says. He says, "Im daitoy lekach v'rachmana liba boy." Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants. It only depends on your machshava. Im daitoy lekach, aval im daitoy bavur shi'ab shbichu oisoi. You want it's a kiddush me, not a kiddush Hashem. V'loy bavur emunas Yisrael. Oy mishum shu ha'oyve es a goy umerachem lov asa. You see, so it's mamish like a very darkistic thing. You have to do it because it's going to mekadoshim shemayim. Otherwise, it's forbidden to do it. Even if you feel morally, I should be returning it.
Is there a way to arrange to make it?
But no, because oftentimes it won't be a kiddush Hashem. Unless you call on the phone. It's a big company, corporation, you know, whatever. You call on the phone. They have no idea who you are. So there's lav dafka kiddush Hashem on that. Right? So if you can make it, it has to be that you're going to make a kiddush Hashem out of it. Right? You find something in the... let's say in a hotel, in your hotel room, you find something. So you call them up, but you leave, and you say, by the way, in room one, there was a lost cell phone over there. You know, so you should say, I was the guy in the room, remember I was wearing the yarmulke. you have to make that, there's a kiddush Hashem at it. Okay? Now, otherwise you shouldn't return it.
Again, if you don't find it in your hotel room, it doesn't necessarily be your cut.
You can just leave it.
You can leave it there. It's not like it. Even we're in
Kainai,
per se.
No, leave it there, but Lav Dav can do anything, you know.
What about if you return something and he gives you a reward for returning it? It's to be wrong.
Oh, you're saying you're doing it to get money. Okay, so.
You get the reward.
That's a good question.
Or the business, you know, you return this
thing. Like I said, that's it. Oh, someone's outside. That's outside. Hmm? I don't know, that's this thing. No, Bavoshi Yeshabchu, I say.
It's a shop. Here I'm doing it as an investment.
Yeah, let's stop. If you're doing it for money, then you maybe that's okay.
If you find a lost dog and there's a reward for the lost dog, so you turn the lost dog, if you give the reward.
Some of it's okay. Because for a year, you wouldn't be allowed to take the money for the reward. So, Mestama, you're not doing it for the Mitzvah Shavas Aveda.
When the Gemara says that, the Rosh Hashanah says that I'm a gazman. According to Al-Pidi, he was not a gazman.
Right, but he's living off other people's money. I'm not interested in other people's money. So, okay. Now, there's one interest. So this is the Yamshel Shleima says, and not only, and the Sefer Pesachei Choshen brings down also, is that since it's Asur to return it to a guy, unless it's a Kiddush Hashem, so a Suffolk Kiddush Hashem is not enough. Because in Suffolk went to Mede Vaday. It has to be Vaday there's a Kiddush Hashem. So you have to know for sure that there'll be a Kiddush Hashem if you want to return it. It's pretty interesting. Allah, remember, because the lo yoyve Hashem sloyach loy, the pasuk says Hashem will not want to forgive someone that does this. So it's pretty chomer iser. Okay, so lo yoyve Hashem sloyach loy. Now, there is a piece here. This I'll hand out because by accident I made extra copies. But anyway, it's a good thing for people to see. Yeah. Is there any more copies on the table behind you? Okay, so anyway, in the printer, there's one more too? I don't know if there is. But anyway, it's a piece from the Smag. Okay, this is the part that we said is the covered to Shavasa Batamas. Okay, for the Galus Yisrael. So he says like this unbelievable thing. So he brings down in the mitzvah of mitzvah Ayin Dalet, mitzvah Sashav Saveda. So he says like this. He brings down all this thing that for Kiddush Hashem you're allowed to do it. And listen to this shtickle. Kvar darashti legalus Yerushalayim asher b'sfarad. I made a drasha to the people that were exiled out of Jerusalem that are now found in Sfarad. It must have been 1,000 years later, but whatever. Ulashar Golius Edom, and all the people that were in Golus Edom. Ki ata sheherich ha-golus yoyser midai. Now that the Golus is very, very long. Yeshli sor la-havdil mehavli ha-olam. You have to be very careful to separate yourself from the things of the world. V'lechlis b'chayisam ha-shalkaj baruch hu shu emes. And make sure to engage in only truthful business transactions of emes. V'shaloy la-shakir, never to lie. Loy li-yisrael v'loy la-goyim. To nobody, and not to fool them in any way of mamonis, b'shum inyan. Ulakadish atzmam af b'muto lahem. Shenemar she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avum lo yidabu kozav. V'lo yimtzu b'neim loshen tarmis. That Jewish people should not have any sort of ramos, any trickery, or any fool, anything when it comes to the goyim. Why? Very simple. Because we're davening for Mashiach. What's Mashiach supposed to accomplish in the world? What's the point of Mashiach? The point of Mashiach is not to save us from the Cossacks, as he used to say. The point of Mashiach is to Mekadashim Shemayim. Mekadashim Shemayim. Ukishiyav HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hashiyam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mashiach to save Klal Yisrael, it's unbelievable what he says here. Yoyim Ru'a Goyim, we're going to be honest people. And the Goyim will say, wow, B'din Asa. Wow, it makes a lot of sense. Hashem redeemed his people. Kihem Anche Emes. V'teras Emes B'fiyam. The truthful people. So these are upstanding individuals, and now is a kiddush Hashem that Hashem took them to be His people. Aval im yisnagu im agoyim b'ramos, but for constantly fooling the goyim, yoimru, they'll say re'u ma'asa kadosh baruch hu. This is what Hashem did. Shebachar ha'bachar shebachar lechelkoi ganovim v'ramoim. This is who He chose, a bunch of thieves. V'chulu. So He says. It has to be that we have to be honest with our business dealings so that when Mashiach comes, there'll be, otherwise, why would Mashiach come? Mashiach is going to come to make a bigger Chil Hashem than a bigger Kiddush Hashem. Mashiach's not coming around that way. So if we maintain, so he says, if you're mechuyev nowadays to do these stories of Shimon ben Shetach. The times of Shimon ben Shetach is one thing. But now, if you have the opportunity to Mekadosh Hashem by being honest, you're mechuyev to do that. Because this is the only way that Mashiach is going to come. So, and there's a piece. Under the Paris Mishnayos. See another track. So he brings over there in that book. Let me see if I can find the piece. It's a very scary piece he brings over here. If I can't, here. Okay, I'm going to read it, because I'm not taking any achrayas on this. But I'm reading it inside. This is from the Sefer of Rav Michal Bar Weissmandel. So somebody here did not like what it said here. And I told him, you don't like it, so email Rabbi Lapiansky. He emailed back Rabbi Lapiansky, and Rabbi Lapiansky said that if Rav Weissmandel said it, then no one has a right to have any sort of taina on it. Because Weissmandel himself experienced the war, and he writes the following. So I'm just quoting from Rav Weissmandel. So he says like this. He says, even though the beginning of the Holocaust started in Germany, and from there spread to other nations, our brethren in Germany were able to escape in greater numbers than those in other countries. And they also were able to save a much greater share of their wealth, as opposed to other countries where the money and possessions ended up with their neighbors. The reason is because our brethren in Germany were much more honest in their business dealings with their Gentile neighbors throughout the years, and they did not cheat them. Therefore, the money was rightfully theirs, and none of it was the Gentiles. Whereas in other countries that suffered from excruciating poverty, they allowed themselves to use trickery in their financial dealings with their Gentiles. Therefore, on a day of reckoning, the money reached their Gentile neighbors in order that it returned to its original owner, and Ashkacha brought it to their heirs, of those who had been cheated. That's what Rav Weissmandel writes. So anyway, Al-Kopanim, the Indian of of this halacha is, on the one hand, to understand that Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah. It's not just a moral right thing to do. There's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah to do it, and you're doing it to a non-Jew to make you feel good, and because it's morally correct, and the guy feels bad and all that, then you're not treating the mitzvah with the chashivas, and you're just doing it because it's morally correct. So that's not proper. That's l'man tzfois harovas ha-tzmeya, and that's incorrect. Lo yoyve Hashem sloyach lei. However,
what does that just mean?
Lo yoyve Hashem sloyach lei. Hashem will not want... It means you're connecting, you're being mashve, you're connecting the mitzvah to not, you're saying everyone's the same. Jew, non-Jew, that's all the same. There's no chashivas one to the other. You're equating one to the other.
But isn't it morally correct to return even to a goy? Forget about the mitzvah component of it. Just standard morals in society.
No moral. There's no moral other than the Torah.
Is there such a thing?
So if the Torah says, the mitzvah is to return it to a yid, and that's the mitzvah. We follow the mitzvahs. But if you can accomplish a Kiddush Hashem, then not only are you allowed to, according to the Smag, you're mechuyev to do it nowadays to accomplish a Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, that keep that in mind.
So
it's like a very, very important,
it's
very
not
important.
The proper thing to return an item to a goy unless there's a Kiddush Hashem.
Correct.
It's not proper.
That's
so
really
it's
really a hard one to swallow.
Because
it's really
right. That's why it's good. That's why it's an interesting topic. But the point is that because that shows that we're not following it because we're supposed to. We're following it because it feels right. And that's a dangerous slippery slope, because who are we to decide what feels right? Today we feel this is right, tomorrow we feel this is right, and if there's no, if we're just following it because we feel like it's right, then tomorrow we're going to feel other things are right and different things are wrong. You have to follow exactly the guidelines that we're given, because it's too much of a slippery slope to decide things are correct because it feels right. And therefore, if you're doing things because they feel right, then that's not proper. You have to do it because of the guidelines of the Torah. And okay, since the guideline of the Torah is to return it to Achicha, and Fakir, you're supposed to keep the money if it belongs to a guy. But if there's going to be a Chil Hashem, for sure you have to. And if there's going to be a Kiddush Hashem, you're allowed. And like we're speaking out from the Smag, you must. And the Kol Shekein, to cheat them in other ways, apparently, according to Weissmandel, that money is going to get back to them eventually. It's not yours. So one has to be aware of that as well. So if we're misakin this, then we could be zoicha to what it says in the Smag, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeeming us, we'll be zoicha to a big Kiddush Hashem, and the goyim will realize that we are truly the honest people, and that will bring the gula, the meher v'meinu.
What if you don't know if it belongs to a